The Master of Ballantrae, A Winter's Tale by Robert Louis Stevenson. Narrated by B.J. Harrison. To Sir Percy Florence and Lady Shelley. Here is a tale which extends over many years and travels into many countries. By a peculiar fitness of circumstance, the writer began, continued it, and concluded it among distant and diverse scenes. Above all, he was much upon the sea. The character and fortune of the fraternal enemies, the hall and shrubbery of Durrisdeer, the problem of Mackellar's homespun, and how to shape it for superior flights, these were his company on deck, in many star-reflecting harbors, ran often in his mind at sea to the tune of slatting canvas, and were dismissed, something of the suddenest, on the approach of squalls. It is my hope that these surroundings of its manufacture may to some degree find favor for my story with seafarers and sea lovers like yourselves. And at least here is a dedication from a great way off, written by the loud shores of a subtropical island near upon 10,000 miles from Boscombe Cheen and Manor, scenes which rise before me as I write, along with the faces and voices of my friends. Well, I am for sea once more, no doubt Sir Percy also. Let us make the signal BRD. Signed, RLS. Waikiki, May 17th, 1889. Preface to the First Edition by Robert Louis Stevenson. Although an old consistent exile, the editor of the following pages revisits, now and then, the city of which he exults to be a native. And there are few things more strange, more painful, or more salutary than such revisitations. Outside, in foreign spots, he comes by surprise and awakens more attention than he had expected. In his own city, the relation is reversed, and he stands amazed to be so little recollected. Elsewhere, he is refreshed to see attractive faces, to remark possible friends. There, he scouts the long streets with a pang at heart for the faces and friends that are no more. Elsewhere, he is delighted with the presence of what is new. There, tormented by the absence of what is old. Elsewhere, he is content to be his present self. There, he is smitten with an equal regret for what he once was and for what he once hoped to be. He was feeling all this dimly, as he drove from the station on his last visit. He was feeling it still as he alighted at the door of his friend, Mr. Johnstone Thompson, W.S. A hearty welcome, a face not altogether changed, a few words that sounded of old days, a laugh provoked and shared, a glimpse in passing of the snowy cloth and bright decanters, and the Pyrenees on the dining-room wall, brought him to his bedroom with a somewhat lightened cheer. And when he and Mr. Thompson sat down a few minutes later, cheek by jowl, and pledged the past in a preliminary bumper, he was already most consoled. He had already almost forgiven himself his two unpardonable errors, that he should have ever left his native city, or ever returned to it.
"I have something quite in your way," said Mr. Thompson. "I wish to do honour to your arrival, because, my dear fellow, it is my own youth that comes back along with you, in a very tattered and withered state, to be sure, but, well, all that's left of it."
"A great deal better than nothing," said the editor. "What is this which is quite in my way?"
"I was coming to that," said Mr. Thompson. "Fate has put it in my power to honour your arrival with something really original by way of dessert, a mystery."
"A mystery," I repeated.
"Yes," said his friend, "a mystery. It may prove to be nothing, and it may prove to be a great deal. But in the meantime, it is truly mysterious. No eye, having looked on it for near 100 years, it is highly genteel, for it treats of a titled family."